Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And Jim, the good news is the story just keeps getting worse for George Stephanopoulos. In addition to admitting it wasn't $50,000, it was actually $75,000 in $25,000 chunks over 3 years that he donated to the Clinton Foundation. Clinton Cash author Peter Schweitzer has pointed out that Stephanopoulos has played a critical role in various events with the Clinton Global Initiative. And now some of Stephanopoulos' own former colleagues are piling on, one of whom is Carol Simpson, who appeared on CNN's Reliable Sources. And she just says there's a coziness that George cannot escape. While he did try to separate himself from his political background to become a journalist, he really isn't a journalist. And she says, I wanted to take him by the neck and say, George, what were you thinking when he interviewed Schweitzer without divulging his association with the Clinton Foundation? Clearly, he was not thinking. I thought it was outrageous. And it just goes on and on and on. So ABC is still not actually punishing him in any way other than to make him apologize a couple different times, Jim. But people who actually care about the integrity of journalism are not being quiet on this.
And I thought it was pretty interesting. We haven't heard from any of Stephanopoulos's ABC News colleagues. I think we probably shouldn't expect them to come out and say, boy, management really screwed up on this one. Stephanopoulos has been a hack since the day I met him. Everybody knows this. He was elbowing people out of the way to do the Schweitzer interview, saying, man, I gotta stop this guy. I got to stop this guy. He's going to hurt the queen. They're not going to come out and say that. But a guy like Greenfield, who's no longer with ABC News, or Carol Simpson, do have a little more freedom to speak their mind and to be critical in the way they want. And I kind of was impressed with the fact, and I have a suspicion that Howard Kurtz had said, boy, you know, how he just kind of was oblivious to the fact that he had this conflict of interest here. I respectfully dissent from Howard Kurtz and say, no, I think he knew exactly what he was doing, right? I mean, this is alternatively helping somebody he used to work for and still thinks very highly of, or he's buying access to her down the road. Whichever way you want to look at it, it's not a good motive to have. Because, you know, if you say, oh, I just wanted to help kids with AIDS. Well, there are a lot of charities in the world that help a lot of good causes that he could have given that money to. Every donation to the Clinton Foundation was given because they picked out the Clinton Foundation in particular. And the only thing the Clinton Foundation can give you, more than, say, any one of, you know, World Vision or any one of the other really good charities in the world, is that you get access to the Clintons, too. That's the little added bonus you get there. Watching somebody like Greenfield and Simpson tear into him, I think that's got to sting a bit, not just personally, but I think also ABC News was kind of counting on everyone kind of closing ranks and saying, oh, I've worked for Stephanopoulos for lots of years, and he's such a consummate professional. This was an innocent mistake, et cetera. And, you know, at least some folks weren't willing to go with it. When, you know, I got to tell you, when you know, Carol Simpson says she wanted to grab him by the back of the neck, Greg, she can do that. It's not a long reach for her.
Yeah, and she's probably reaching down, knowing George Stephanopoulos. So
yeah.
not a tall individual. Jim, what do you make of the Republican response here? Stephanopoulos has already recused him from the one ABC debate involving the Republican presidential candidates. Utah Senator Mike Lee going so far as to say, I'm not going to appear on ABC until Stephanopoulos recuses himself entirely from 2016 campaign coverage.
I think that's perfectly fair. I mean, there's two reasons for this. One is, I mean, if you've ever wanted to an excuse to cut off cooperation with press that you think is hostile, this is a pretty good reason, right? I mean, it's not like ABC could say, oh, come on, you're being harsh here. It's not just that he made the donations. It's not just his long association with the Clintons that's been previously working for them. It's also the fact that he basically wasn't honest about it. He went out and really grilled Schweitzer without saying, oh, by the way, I've given $75,000 to this organization. So I think any Republican has all the excuse they need to say, look, I'm not having anything to do with ABC News until they say, you know, Stephanopoulos is recusing himself from all of the 2016 coverage because he's already doing morning show coverage on Good Morning America, you know, the healthy cooking recipes and kind of light fluffy stories. So let Stephanopoulos go into that world and spend this cycle doing that stuff because you can't expect him to objectively cover Hillary Clinton.
Lee is, as far as I know, the only one who's actually gone that far, but we'll see how the story has legs and if any other Republicans make that same ultimatum. But on to the bad martini now. And Jim, we've been desperate for some good news in the war against ISIS, and we got some just a couple of days ago. We found out that the president ordered a commando raid against one of the top commanders in ISIS. They killed him. They rescued a slave. They have his wife in custody. And it seemed like a great moment in this fight against one of the most ruthless enemies we've ever seen. And it was a great moment. But before the ink was even dry on that story, we find out that ISIS has captured Ramadi, the capital of the Anbar province. And in a story very reminiscent of what happened in the northern part of the country, the Iraqi troops that had been defending Ramadi essentially dropped their weapons and ran. So it's very unclear whether there's any momentum in this fight right now, and if there is momentum, if it's on our side.
I wrote a bit about this in the Morning Jolt, and I kind of like to make a kind of a clear distinction here. We remember coverage of the Iraq war during the Bush years that was, I guess you could say, kind of a sneering tone, kind of a dismissive, kind of a saying, "Ah, you know, quagmire in Iraq, and what are we going to do now? And the president doesn't know what he's doing, and what a disaster this is." And here we have our fight against ISIS. And I think the difference, or at least for a lot of us on the right, is that we'd really like to see a successful effort against ISIS. I'd like to see ISIS eradicated. And if President Obama is the president who ends up wiping ISIS off the face of the earth, God bless him. But I don't have that feeling from this administration. In fact, I kind of get the feeling this administration sees ISIS as a public relations challenge to be managed from news cycle to news cycle instead of a serious national security threat, I think a force of evil in the world. I mean, just spreading cruelty and torture and all kinds of oppression everywhere they go. Not long ago, in February, when Obama was asking for his military budget, he said, we are winning the war, we are on the advance, and ISIS is in retreat, and it sounded all great. And here we are a few months later, and they've taken one of the largest cities, I think the largest city in western Iraq. And, you know, they may not quite be knocking on the door in Baghdad as they were a few months ago, but it's not conclusive that we're really getting where we want to go in this fight with ISIS. And you just kind of feel like this administration, it feels like it gets intermittent attention, certainly at the presidential level. I'm sure the good folks at the Pentagon are doing their best day in and day out. But we don't feel like a country that's at war. And you kind of wonder just how committed we are and whether we're taking this seriously or whether this is something we're kind of hoping some other force will intervene and deal with. And it's a force that very clearly has made clear that is adamant they want to kill Americans. And we don't seem to act like this is what's preeminent in our minds at this moment.
Jim, hopefully this will be wrapped up in the next year and a half. But we found out today that fortunately, if it's not, President Lindsey Graham will take care of it because he's running for president based on national security reasons. And so we can all take great solace in that. I'm sure you're feeling much easier as a result of that.
Lindsey mania.
Party of one. Okay. Two. John McCain's there too. Okay. On to the crazy martini now. And public places on Sunday in Texas are becoming pretty rough this month. Yesterday, we found out that there was a massive biker gang fight at a place called the Twin Peaks Restaurant in Waco, Texas, that broke out between these two gangs, the Bandidos and the Cossacks. 9 people killed, all sorts of weapons involved here, clubs, knives, fists, ultimately guns as well. 9 dead, 18 wounded, 192 arrested as a result of these biker gangs being accused of engaging in organized crime. The killing played out pretty early on Sunday afternoon. By Monday morning, they were still booking people in the McLennan County Jail. So, Jim, you know more about Twin Peaks than I do, so I don't know how that pop culture weaves into this whole story here, but this is just a weird, weird story.
It is. The creators of the television show are quick to emphasize that the food chain is not officially affiliated with the television show or anything like that. A little bit of the style's a little bit the same. You know, if you thought you may have had a brutal weekend, Greg, 192 arrests, okay? I think the Waco Police Department, guys, it's Miller time. Take 5. You have earned your pay on a day like that. And, you know, we've heard about various gangs in America's cities. We've heard about worried about cartels on the border. You know, the news will periodically tell us about your nightmarish serial killers. I hadn't realized biker gangs were back in the news and that they were this lurking threat in this. I thought it was really kind of more Sons of Anarchy, the FX show. So it's kind of a strange to see this. It sounds like this is at least has gotten under control. But I guess we can see thankfully that no non-bikers were killed or injured in this. But that's like a borderline wartime conflict when you have this many people getting shot and these kinds of weapons. What's more is that we have a situation. What happens to all the bikes?
I hadn't thought about that one.
I mean, there's a lot of probably really nice bikes sitting around Waco right now that I guess eventually some of these guys are going to get out, but some of them aren't. If you're looking for a bike, maybe Waco is a good place to check out right now.
Yeah, those police auctions can get you some good deals.
There you go.
Amazing. Obviously a major tragedy, but it's always good to find a little slice of humor if we can. Jim, good to have you back. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.